Turn to read God's Word. And our reading this morning is the New Testament and the Gospel of Luke and chapter 19. Luke's Gospel and chapter 19. And we're going to read verses 1 through 28. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he asked and spake a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said therefore, A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury, with interest? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away. But those mine enemies, who would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us all understanding in that reading of his own holy and his inspired word. We sing again his praise. You sing this time some words from the first version of Psalm 50. Psalm 50 at the beginning, The mighty God the Lord hath spoken and did call the earth from rising of the sun to where he hath his fall. From out of Zion hill, which of excellency and beauty the perfection is, God shined gloriously. Our God shall surely come. Keep silence, shall not he? Before him fire shall waste, great storms shall round about him be. Unto the heavens clear he from above shall call, and to the earth likewise, that he may judge his people all. Together let my saints unto me gather be, those that by sacrifice have made a covenant with me. Psalm 50, verses 1 through 5, the first verse, and the mighty God the Lord hath spoken. Will you turn with me this morning to the portion of the scriptures we read there, Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and verses 4 and 5. And he that is Zacchaeus ran before or ahead of the crowd and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Over these past days, we have been bombarded with the tracking and the movement and the route of the Olympic torch as it has passed through Scotland. The intention was that it should be no further than an hour's travel from 95% of the people of our land. That's the kind of exposure that they were wanting to achieve and accomplish. And people were encouraged to make the effort, go out of their way, to disrupt their family pattern or their pattern of living, just to see it pass by. There was a herald that went before them to give us warning. It's 5 minutes from coming into this town. The pavements were several deep in places. As the torch moved, so the crowds on the pavement moved along with it. Some other people climbed into a vantage point just to see it. A huge commitment of time and a huge commitment of finances. For what? What's the effect of all of these things as they've come to our shores, to our streets, to our pavements? In the evening time, whenever it was parked for the night, there was a reason for a party, for entertainment, for a concert. And with all of that going on and captivating the mind and the time of our nation and their people, we must say something about it. We must weigh up. And we ask the question, what difference has all of that made to the lives of the people involved? I mean, what permanent difference? Something that remains with those involved. Yes, as a church, every church must encourage unity amongst and between people. We might even go so far as encouraging the competitive spirit of sport. We can also see the means of making the gospel known to visitors to our land, and hopefully and prayerfully taking some of that good news back with them to their own lands from whence they've come. Yes, there is the opportunity for spreading and making known this gospel through great meetings such as the Olympic event. But there are also so many distractions, and there are so many imbalances and emphases that come with it. I think of a simple text like Paul writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where he says, and he speaks, let me just quote it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and he says this, For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then these words, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul is there holding two things in his hand, in his mind. And he's contrasting them, and he's looking first of all at the things that are temporal, the things going on round about him, the buzz in his society, the same as there is a buzz in our society, such as the torch coming through communities. And he's holding that in one hand, and he's looking at it in one aspect of his mind, and he's setting beside it something else. He's setting aside it spiritual things. He's setting beside it things that are more important and urgent and permanent. And he's weighing them up. And he's coming to an opinion. He's made his mind up and he's come to a judgment. And he says, no, these things are far more important. As the years pass with every one of us, doesn't matter where we are on the spectrum, as the years pass with every one of us, we set different priorities. We come to different judgments. We set different targets. Things that once charmed us, things that once held us, things that once entranced us, we now hold them loosely by us. We hold them at arm's distance from us. They're not as important as they once were to us, because other things are now more important. That's the lesson that we have that Paul gives us there, that's applicable to our society and what's going on in our society today. But perhaps there's another lesson from what we've read here this morning about this man Zacchaeus. Jesus was passing through the city. And I linger deliberately on the words because they echo what's been happening in our society. Jesus was passing through that city. The crowds were watching. Zacchaeus was a short, he wasn't a tall man at all, although he was a rich one. And so he ran ahead and he climbed a tree to get into a vantage point, just like many others do today. And when he came underneath the tree, Jesus stopped, spoke to him. Jesus was passing by. And that's what's happening today in our land now. In so many different churches in our land, we pray, we hope, we trust that that same experience is being repeated, that Jesus is passing through us, amongst us. He's passing through a congregation and a gathering of people. He's gathering amongst families and communities. He is spoken of, he's been heralded, he's been talked of. Attention is drawn to him. And yet we've got to ask the question, how many people have gone out of their way to be in church this morning? How many people have gone out of their way to hear what he's got to say to us? The answer to these questions just reflect how low the cause is amongst us. How low the cause is in our soul, how spiritual and eternal matters have been eclipsed and taken over by other less important things. The things of everyday life and living begin to stick to our souls, stick to our lives, begin to dominate us and overwhelm us. And they spoil us. But if that's the way we are, the Lord is not like that. The Lord goes out of his way even to speak to just one person and call that one person to follow him. You remember the way in which he said the 99 sheep stayed in the fold and there was one that strayed, and so the shepherd went after just that one sheep. You remember the way in which in John 4 the Lord must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there was one woman at a well there that he had to meet and speak with. The way in which the Lord goes out of his way just to meet with and speak with people. The way in which the Lord come amongst us as a congregation and he just singles out one amongst us to speak with us here this morning. And he uses any means, many means, to get our attention. Wednesday night we were thinking of what the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Don't pray for this people." Three times he says it. And it was a means of getting the attention of the people. Well, the Lord got the attention of Zacharias. He used the curiosity of this man. Here was Zacharias, and he wanted to see Jesus. He was concerned, he was curious, he wanted to see him, so he couldn't jump over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a tree. And that little small action was what was used by the Lord for the salvation of his soul. Underneath the tree, Jesus addressed him, spoke to him, and his life was eventually changed. A little thing getting his attention. And the door was opened, and the truth came in. The way the Lord deals with Zacharias, and the way the Lord deals with one of us also. It's a mystery, but it's also a wonder. Just for a moment here this morning, before we go any further, think for yourself, why are you here? Why are you here? Perhaps you can think of a remarkable providence that turned your foot this way or that and brought you here. Or perhaps there was some kind of a hindrance at home that was going to hold you back, but you overcome it and eventually you got here. Perhaps it's because of habit, but the habit was under threat of being broken this morning. Something else was coming into place, into play. So many different ways in which the Lord works in different ways as he worked in Zacharias. But he brought Zacharias to hear the gospel, and he's brought us together here to hear it as well. Whatever be the reason, we're all here to listen to what God has to say. Remember Acts 10 and the way in which the Lord sent Peter, calling him in that remarkable dream that he had, to the house of Cornelius, and the way in which Cornelius equally gathered all the people together, and there was remarkable providences in bringing them there, preacher and people together. And Peter says this, I see a remarkable truth here. God is no respecter of persons. But we're all here gathered to hear what the Lord has to say to us. Jesus is passing by. Let us therefore listen carefully to what he has to say to us. I want simply to take four or five brief thoughts out of this man's experience to see their application to ourselves. The way in which he spoke, the way in which he called Zacharias. First of all, I want us to see carefully that it is a gracious call. For him, Jesus, to stop underneath that sycamore tree, there was no reason why he should. There was nothing special about Zacharias. There was nothing deserving about him. He wasn't a great man. He wasn't a noble man. He wasn't a public figure. There was nothing at all attractive about him to grant a reward from Jesus to stop in this way. The Lord chose to do it himself. A gracious stopping and speaking. We need to hear that message today, because in our land there is a traditional Christianity where people say, "Of course I'm a Christian. I've been brought up that way. I've been to church so many times. I've been through Sunday school. I've been through this and that process and such like. And of course I'm a Christian." But there is nothing inevitable about being a Christian. To be a Christian requires a crisis event. It requires the upheaval of the whole of your life. In that process, the Bible speaks about the new birth, a new beginning. It is that process whereby God breaks into your life, if you're a believer, into mine. And the way in which he shows us things that we've hidden or run away from for so long. He tells us that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. The way in which God tells us things that perhaps shock us, surprise us, might definitely offend us. But then the good pleasure of God comes all the more vividly into light and focus, because when there is nothing going for us, when there is nothing on our side to commend us, and we see God stopping and talking and dealing with Zacchaeus and dealing with us, what a gracious call that is. There was nothing whatsoever to support Zacchaeus. The very principle we've got there in verse 10 applies. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Applies across the board to Zacchaeus and to all of us. We're lost. But here is Jesus stopping to seek and to save. He came out of the city of Jericho. A city that was cursed, remember, from our Old Testament knowledge and history. It was a bad neighborhood. There were thieves and there were people like that all over the place. God's blessing does not depend upon the environment we're in, where we were born. It doesn't depend upon what we've done or where we've lived. As we said there from Peter and Cornelius, Acts 10, God is no respecter of persons. God calls graciously and mercifully when there is nothing whatsoever to constrain him or to make him do it. He breaks in and he speaks to you and to me about our need. This man's job, think of what he was doing. He was a tax collector. He was the boss. He was the chief tax collector. There was a great opportunity for him to be rich, a penny for you and two for me. That's what he was doing, collecting the taxes for the Romans, and he was hated by his countrymen. Jericho was a pivotal trade route, and there was so much coming and going of business through that area, and commercial practice was at his judgment, and he took advantage of it, and he cheated, and so he was hated. But there is no difference with God. All of us need salvation. All of us need a Savior. So in his grace, he spoke to this man. And here this morning, as Jesus is passing by, Jesus is speaking to you and to me also. He is speaking to us of our need. He is speaking to us of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The very simple but important experience we've got to focus on. And there is no distraction, and there must be no substitute for this anywhere throughout our land. This is the essence and the center of the gospel and the reason for our existence. Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. A gracious call. But what else can we say about this experience of Zacchaeus? Not only was it a gracious call, but it was a very personal call. There were so many, remember, there was a great crowd that were round the pavements, and he couldn't see what was going on, and they were round about and they were moving on, and he was dancing around in the background trying to jump over and see what was going on. They blocked his vision. And so he climbed the tree, and Jesus, when he came to it, stopped and looked up and said, "Zacchaeus." Personal call, personal address. Alone before and alone with God. That's the way the Lord addresses people today, as he did then. People, you've come, friends, family, people round about us. We've come part of a community, we're part of a congregation, and sometimes we take great comfort in hiding amongst a crowd with others round about us. But then God breaks into our life and God pars away all of these other people. And we feel that we've been isolated and we've been set aside and we've been made public and personal. And the Lord is pointing his finger and directing his words more and more just at you. One person. And the things that he says fits exactly your description and your character and situation. We might be alone, we might be in a crowd, but we're not alone. We might be in a crowd, and we hide, and we try to get away. But the Lord dealing with us on a very personal and an individual basis. A very personal call. If you go back to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 43, you find there the very quality that we're talking about here. But now thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. And he says to Jacob, and he says to Israel, fear not. Why? For I have redeemed thee. And then listen to these words. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. That personal intervention, that personal dealings with God that is essential for you and for me, that was the experience of Zacchaeus there, is it ours today? There are no group tickets to get into heaven. There are no bus outings to get into heaven. There's no community council meetings to get us into heaven. The gate to heaven is a narrow gate and it allows access one at a time, without bag or baggage. That's the way God deals with us, and that's the way the gospel comes to us today. He calls Mary. He calls Levi. He calls his own disciples, followers, by name, one by one. Measured words exactly for them where they are. Measured words exactly for us where we are now. A very personal call. A gracious call. But what else? Well, it's a very urgent call. Because the Lord says to Zacchaeus, make haste! Hurry up! Come down! Today, people are so laid back about spiritual things. There's no concern with them whatsoever. As soon as we start speaking about eternity and spiritual things and sin and God, you find that people get distracted and you find that they think about this, that and the other. Anything except what we're wanting to get across. Tomorrow is soon enough, friend. Tomorrow is soon enough. But tonight your soul might be required of you. The pressures of life today muffle the urgency of the gospel clarion call. There's a notice hung out on the door of life of so many people today. Do not disturb. Tomorrow is time enough. Let me enjoy life today. Let me go by the devil's calendar. There things are pushed off all the time. But what does our Bible say to us but this? Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. God's timetable is today. Because there are important things, there are urgent things that have to be addressed and dealt with. And we're being presumptuous if we say, I'll wait until tomorrow because tomorrow might never come. There was one man, Paul, and he was preaching to one of the leaders. He was preaching to Felix in Acts chapter 24. And he had a tremendous sermon. We're only given the 3 points of it. He preached on temperance and of judgment to come. And when he spoke about these things, it obviously had an effect upon Felix, because Felix was trembling. It affected him. He was there disturbed significantly by what was being said by Paul. It got under his skin and got into his soul, and it challenged him. And yet, what do we find Felix saying? I'll put it off for a convenient season. Even although he was shaken and disturbed and troubled and trembling as he was, nevertheless, he didn't act upon it. He kept putting it off. Other things that he wanted to do, places he wanted to go, things he wanted to see, experiences he wanted to have first. But do they come? There is an urgency over what God says to us. And we dare not ignore it. And we dare not delay. Because our soul is too precious to be at risk. There is an urgent call. Make haste. It speaks to every one of us. And to everyone who's listening and everyone in our land today. Yes, a gracious call, a personal call, an urgent call. What else? Here we have a loving call. What did he say to Zacchaeus? He says, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Just think for a moment what that meant to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector and the top dog. He was a chief among the publicans. And you might think that, well, he had a great circle of friends to go about and so many people coming to his house and he had all these public meetings and everything else. That's what we might think, but in fact it's quite the opposite. He was isolated because of his trade. Nobody wanted to be the friend of a tax collector. Nobody wanted to be in amongst him and his people because they were scared of him. You never know what he might be doing, checking my bank balance. He might just simply be going through my wallet. He might be thinking, well, where's he getting all his money from and how much of it can I get off him? No, people were afraid of him. He was isolated. He was lonely. But here is Jesus speaking to him. And Jesus is prepared to come to his house. The care and the affectionate way in which Jesus deals with him. And deals with every sinner that he meets and every person that he speaks with. There is that initial connection and contact under the tree. But that's not the end of it. That interest is developed and sustained and is shown as he later on speaks with him in the house. As he later on speaks with him walking along the road. A loving, affectionate call. The Lord might speak to you through this sermon this very morning. Breaking into your life as he's never done before. The Lord might be speaking to you in a very challenging way, just as he spoke to Zacchaeus under the tree. But that's not the end of things here this morning, if that's your experience now. Because the Lord continues to meet with you in your job, alone at home, through the week. The Lord will come back and take this same message back to you. You're not left alone. He does not give up on you. He does not leave you alone. He comes and he repeats and he sharpens and he challenges the things that he has said to you in this first initial meeting. A loving call, showing to us the extent and the depth of his affection and his care and his interest for those who are lost. It's not something cold and clinical. It's not something that's lacking any feeling. It's not dry as dust, but it's flesh and blood, bones. That's the care and compassion of the Lord for his own. Oh yes, there's always the danger the devil will there try to counteract that as best he can, and he'll try hard to do so. He'll try to take away the seed that is sown. He'll try every distraction to smother it. He'll try to put all the lies beside it. He'll try anything and everything to neutralize that attention and attraction and intervention of the Lord. But remember that the Lord is described as our shepherd. And the quality about the shepherd is the love and interest he has for the sheep. We've spoken already about him going out of the way to get that one that strayed. And it doesn't make any difference where that one has gone to, through the bog and the mire, over the hills and rivers. Everywhere he's gone, in the most dangerous or inaccessible of places, the shepherd will follow, because the shepherd is interested in that sheep. And there you have the love of the shepherd for that one that is lost. Giving up? No. Drawing the line? No. There is no barrier that will put him off. No obstacle he will not climb over and overcome. No journey is too long. No danger too much. The loving care of the shepherd for the sheep. The same loving care of the Savior for the sinner that is lost. He will carry that person home. He draws us with his love. He draws us with his love to himself. A gracious call, and a personal call, an urgent and loving call. One last thought before we close. It was an effectual call. It had an effect that remained and was permanent with this man. I don't do it, but I hear it said. You listen to comments made by women. There are some clothes you buy, and they're bright colours when you get them, but you put them through the first wash and the colour goes. And they become dull. And sometimes that can happen in our spiritual experiences with others. People have made great words and great shows, but when the first difficulty comes along, they're gone. What we need is a colour fast religion. What we need is a colour fast religion that will stick there and stay there bright as ever, no matter what comes our way. And that's what this man Zacchaeus had. He followed the Lord, we're told, joyfully. He received him joyfully. There was something about his face and his body language that was different. There was something in his words that were altogether different they never heard before. He was a man that was always threatening, chasing the last drachma, the last penny, the last cent. He was somebody that was going to squeeze blood out of a stone. But suddenly everything was different. He received Jesus joyfully. He's got an open heart and he's got an open home. A revolution has taken place simply because he met with Jesus. And now listen to what he's going to do. He's going to repay everyone that he's defrauded. He's going to pay back everything he's gained illicitly, illegally. He's going to make restitution on such a dramatic scale. And that man slept that night. Zacchaeus slept that night, and oh, he was poorer. But in another sense, he was infinitely richer. He had a possession of a certificate of pardon in the courts of heaven. He once was guilty and disturbed, but now he knows peace and is at rest. He's got the right of entry into the court of heaven. And whenever he thinks about that great meeting of God with God on the day of judgment, he's got a friend that'll stay beside him and plead his cause. Oh yes, he went to bed that night considerably poorer, looking at things on one side. But remember Paul looking at things on the other side, he was so much the richer. What things have we got that last? What have we got about the currency of heaven? Do we have faith? Do we have trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord? Do we venture our souls upon His work and trust Him to intercede for us? Is that where we are this morning? We need to make haste. Jesus Christ is passing by and He's calling out. And He's speaking to us about urgent, important things. Nothing else is more important than this to you or to me or to our soul. Today, Jesus Christ is passing by us. He is challenging our priorities. He's challenging our thinking. He's impressing upon us spiritual truths that we need to lay hold of and we need to keep in our mind. There are future uncertainties. We don't know how long or short our life is, and we don't know what life will hold for us. So much unknown. So much that is up in the air. So much that we've got no handle on, no control over. And the Lord is meeting with us and speaking to us and passing by us. A gracious call. A personal call. An urgent call. A loving call. An effectual call. Today, if we hear His voice, make haste and trust in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we bless Thy name for the wonder of this gospel in our hand and our experience. We bless Thy name, Lord, for the way in which Thou dost deal with us one on one, singling us out and speaking to us personally. We bless Thee, Lord, for the way in which Thou dost break into our thinking and bring home to us things that have been dormant or neglected, but bring home to us things that are spiritual and eternal. And Lord, we know that wherever that work is going on, there will always be the work of the enemy trying to oppose it. Protect therefore what we've received from Thyself. Protect our soul and this precious word to us. Watch over us as we part one from the other. Come out with us in the evening time. And may this day be a rich blessing to us. For we ask it all in Jesus' name and for His sake and His glory. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 110. Psalm 110, and at the beginning of that psalm, the Lord did say unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes a stool whereon thy feet may stand. The Lord shall out of Sion send the rod of thy great power. In midst of all thine enemies be thou the governor. A willing people in thy day of power shall come to thee. In holy beauties from morn's womb thy youth like dew shall be. The Lord himself hath made an oath and will repent him never. Of the order of Melchizedek, thou art a priest forever. Psalm 110, four stanzas. The Lord did say, unto my Lord. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.